Well, let's open together to the Gospel of John once again. We have been looking at Proverbs, but we're going to take a pause from that. Today I want to look at one of the great I Ams of Jesus. So let's read this first verse, verse 35, John 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Our subject today is the true bread, the gift of the Father. And Jesus said to them, he was speaking to this whole multitude, and he said, I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me will never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But look how many missed this truth. There were so many that heard, but there were many that missed this truth. And if we look back to verse 22 and verse 24 in that area, we see the multitude, they're seeking Jesus. And they are the ones who had seen the Lord Jesus feed the 5,000. They had even partaken and eaten that bread themselves. And now the Lord had dismissed them and told them to go to their homes. And a good number went home, but some of them got into boats and they went to look for him. And you could easily have thought, well, look at these are diligent ones. These are believing ones. You could have easily thought that they were ready to believe, ready to honor the Lord, ready to obey him. And look, they have taken boats and they are looking for the Lord. They are seeking for the Lord. But look what happened. They went across to the other side, and not because they wanted to know him. They didn't want to really know him. Not because they wanted the words of life, not even to see the mighty miracles that they had seen the day before. They really only wanted the bread cakes again. They just wanted more bread to eat. And, well, they may have also wanted and seen the Lord Jesus as a political redeemer. They may have thought, well, our troubles are over. He's going to make the Jewish nation great again. We won't have to pay taxes to Caesar. Oh, this will be a great deliverance. He will deliver us from this Roman oppression. And they would be free. But that was the sum of their hope. That was possibly the only reason they were seeking the Lord Jesus. They wanted bread again. And they imagined that Jesus would be their political deliverer. So their desire was only fixed upon earthly things, earthly comfort, rather than knowing the Lord, rather than treasuring his living word. They just wanted what the word would give them. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what they were seeking. You couldn't fool the Lord. His eyes see everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees what's in their hearts. And we know this because of the answer that he gives them. And he says to them, verily, verily. That means most assuredly. So the Lord says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. That's verse 26. You see, they were looking for nothing greater from Christ than to live a happy life and to have ease in this world. But you see, he didn't die. He didn't suffer on the cross to give us a high standard of living. He died to take our sins away. He died to give us eternal life. And this is why he came, that we may know him and that we may inherit eternal life. So Christ says to them, he makes it clear to them. He says to them, do not labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to everlasting life. Now, this is a promise. This is a wonderful promise. And if only they would believe it. If only they had believed this promise, it would have changed everything. Do you know that a promise from the Lord changes everything when we believe it? You know, the word believe, I looked it up. It means to think that it's true. Do you think that this living word is true? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And that's what it means. It means, do you think it's true? True enough to act upon it. True enough to do what it says. So this is what it means to believe. If you would believe, it would change everything. Everything. But also, if you would think it to be true, if you were persuaded in your heart and you were to place full confidence in Christ, this is what it means to believe. So if you were to do that, everything would be different. Everything would change. And he says, Jesus is saying, Jesus Christ, the Lord God is saying, I came to give you heavenly things, truth, redemption, forgiveness of sin. Believe me. Do you believe me? Be persuaded. Place your confidence in what I have said to you. This brings us to the all-important question. This is a very important question. Do we seek Christ only for the temporary benefits that he can give us? What is the bread that we want to eat? What do we want from Christ? And we have to understand that there's two kinds of eating. There's a natural eating, the kind of eating that is done by animals. You've seen the cow in the field. They eat the grass. That's just natural eating. They eat lowly things. They eat things that are here today, gone tomorrow, things that perish. But friend, listen, there's a spiritual eating. It's not really just the eating. It's a feasting. These eternal promises of God are feasts that will change our lives. And what do we eat? We eat that which the Son of Man shall give. We eat that which the Son of Man shall give. The real bread that comes down from heaven, which gives life to the world. Gives life to the world. And let's look just how precious this bread of life is. The true wealth of the bread. The bread that's so freely given. We don't earn it. He freely gave it. In fact, even while we were yet sinners, of no use to him whatsoever, he came from heaven to earth. He gave himself for us. So, number one, we remember the very source of the bread. Where does the bread come from? My Father giveth. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 32. This is the Father's gift. This is the gift of all gifts. And we know the Bible verse most probably you like me, it's one of the first verses you ever learned or committed to memory. And it's this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the bread comes from the giver of life, the Father. He gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is the bread of life. And it's such a grace. It's such a truth. It's such love. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, according to what we deserve. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's dealt with us in mercy and in grace. And we see who the bread is. So the bread is given by the Father. And the bread is, who is the bread? How does the bread come to us? Jesus said, I am the true bread. I am the true bread. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls himself the bread of life. He didn't say, I'm like bread. I'm similar to bread. He didn't say, I will give you bread. He said, I am the bread of life. And that means that he is the only one who imparts life and sustains life and upholds life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Well, this is a picture of the whole human race's greatest hunger. It's not a natural hunger, but a spiritual hunger. And the one who comes to the bread of life will be satisfied. So how do we get satisfied? We come to him. We come to him. Those who believe and those who come are satisfied. One of the old commentators, he says it so well. He who comes to Jesus with a believing heart will in no way be hungry or ever get thirsty. And the meaning is that those that come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about natural hunger. You will get hungry again naturally. You will get thirsty again, even in a few hours. And the meaning is that we will receive from the Lord Jesus Christ complete and enduring spiritual satisfaction. He will satisfy that emptiness in our hearts. He will satisfy that vacuum in our hearts. Perfect peace he will give to our souls. You see, man wants peace. Oh, and peace you can't buy with money. Only Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So this is our experience. We all want peace. The soul of man has a real hunger for peace, for perfect peace in his heart. And without Jesus Christ, we're so empty. We are bankrupt. We are burdened. Guilt bends us over, and we know no forgiveness, and we just feel guilty, and we worry if we would stand before Jesus, we would be in serious trouble and judgment, and we think there's no hope. Our greatest need, man's greatest need, is for peace with God and the removal of that enmity between man and God. And there's only one foundation for peace, only one way to have peace, and that is through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He alone, Jesus Christ, is the bread of life. He alone has ability to satisfy our needs. Christ himself is our peace. So, earthly success and pleasure and position may bring a small measure of peace, but spiritual hunger is not really cured by distractions. There are brilliant people in this world, and they can't make it through the day without some kind of distraction. And I was reading about the politician in war times, Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill, all the history books say he was a brilliant man. He had a brilliant mind. But Churchill was dependent on so many things. He was heavily dependent on his daily intake of alcohol. He used to call it, "I need Papa's cocktail. I need another drink." And he would drink all through the day. Well, it was noted that although he drank so much, he was never seen stumbling around or drunk. He would drink continuously through the day. He would smoke Cuban cigars continuously. He couldn't do without them. He 8 or 10 cigars a day he would smoke. He would have to take sleeping tablets to sleep at night. He would have to take energy pills for the day to lift him, lifters and uppers and downers, to control his mood. One of his great distractions, I read that he, in his home and even in 10 Downing Street, he installed a cinema. He loved watching films and the cinema, even during the war times. There was one film he loved so much, he watched 17 times. And he would sit there and he would say, "Let it roll." And then they would watch the film together. Well, I'm sure that we have tried to use some of these distractions ourselves. But we feel down. Let me eat something nice. Let me make a nice meal. I know what I'll do. I'll take my mind off all these troubles. I'll just watch something uplifting on television. But, you know, distractions don't satisfy that deep spiritual hunger that we have. They didn't satisfy Winston Churchill. He suffered. He suffered with deep depression, leaving his mind a restless battlefield, often leaving him feeling helpless and weak. He only found, the only way he could find some measure of temporary peace was with his hobby. He used to do oil painting, and he would paint, and he would have a small measure of peace. Or think of King Solomon. He was rich. In fact, there has never been one as rich as King Solomon. He tried everything. If he needed something, he lacked no money to buy it. He could indulge in anything, far more than we could ever do it. And what did he say? He spared in nothing, nothing to bring him pleasure. But he said this, "All is vanity, vanity of vanities." It's just the vapor. It's just the breath. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. There's only one true answer. There's only one true answer to satisfy that emptiness in our hearts, that deep spiritual hunger in our hearts. And that answer is, "But my Father gives the true bread from heaven." True bread will satisfy that emptiness in us. And our spiritual need is not a natural need. Our need is not for an emotional uplift. Our need is for our sin to be forgiven, our sin to be washed away. We need a Savior. We need redemption. We need Jesus Christ. Let's honestly ask ourselves. Let's be truthful with ourselves. What are we seeking satisfaction in? Are there things that when we feel down, we run to get satisfaction? Or are we running to Christ as the first call? Where do we turn for satisfaction when we should be resting on Christ alone? Resting on Him alone. Are you hungry? Are you feeling empty? Christ is the true bread. Christ is the one who will meet our greatest and deepest need, our most terrible needs. No other name has power like the name of Jesus. He will meet the needs and heal the wounds and heal the sorrows that are caused by sin. Oh, how many sorrows we all have that are caused by sin. He is the healer. He is the one that puts broken lives back together again. Oh, we are so thankful. He fully satisfies. He is the bread that fully satisfies, the true bread. You know that it's not just one. He didn't say, I'm one of the many options among many. He said, I am the true bread. He is the only option. He is the only one that can help us. He is the only life-giving provision from God. This is the purpose he came, to give life unto the world, to give life unto us. This world, friends, seems to have so many good things to offer. There are many things that are attractive, things that seem to satisfy. We can't deny they do satisfy for a season. It's true. We are satisfied for a season. We discover these temporal pleasures, when they unchecked, when we let them go wild in our lives, they cloud our vision. They distract us from keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They even block our vision. They even blind us until we lose sight of those things that are of eternal value and true value in our lives. I was reading Spurgeon, and he has a sermon illustration, and he says that sometimes we think that if we have just small worldly things in our life that we are dependent upon to fill that void in our life, it won't block, it won't be bad, it won't harm us. And he says, the smallest worldly attachment can completely block out the grandest and the brightest reality. And he says, how does that happen? He says, you can take a tiny copper coin and you can hold it close to your eye, and that copper coin can block out the powerful sun in the sky. If you have two copper coins over your eye, the sun is a million times bigger, but that tiny copper coin will block the view of the sun. And in the same way, when we put other things before our Lord Jesus Christ, they block our view of him. They cloud our view. They blind us. Oh, friend, don't settle only for the gifts that Christ gives. Don't settle only for this world's things, temporal things. Yes, we need them. Of course we need them. But let's not forget Christ himself. If we seek him first, if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in any case, he will give us all the other things. All the other things shall be given unto us. So for bread to satisfy, do you want to be satisfied with the living bread? Well, it's obvious. It must be personally eaten. Personally eaten. How do we come to Christ? It's a yielding to Christ as he draws us. No one can come to Christ unless he's drawn to him. It's not a physical journey. We don't leave Nanyuki and go somewhere else where Christ is, but it's in the heart that yields to Christ. Let me ask you a question. And I know almost for sure that you know the answer. There's a Bible verse that says, draw near to God. How does it finish? Yes, and he will draw near to us. And so we are the Holy Spirit and the Father is drawing us. And the moment we yield to that drawing, oh, the Father comes near. The Lord comes near. And I see this in our daily devotions. Sometimes, isn't it interesting when you're just about to open the Bible and read some scripture, you think of somebody you've got to send a WhatsApp message to. You think of a program that's coming on television. Say, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to draw near to God. And the moment you take that one step towards God, God draws near to you. And you forget about the television. And you have fellowship with your Father. And you are strengthened. And you are nourished. The bread gives you life. You have to come to Him. You have to draw to Him. Believing is more than just agreeing with facts. It is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting that if I come to Him, He will satisfy, He will give me that which I need, He will nourish me. But you know that although this is an unspeakable gift, it's a gift of grace to be able to come to Him and to be satisfied and to trust in Him and to know Him. But look how few come. Look how few draw near to Him. Well, what will Christ satisfy? When we come to Him, what can we expect Him to satisfy? Well, let's go through these quickly. Before Spurgeon, there was a wonderful preacher at Tabernacle by the name of James Smith. And I took some of these points from an article that he had. So I haven't copied his words exactly. I've modernized them, but the bullet points are from his original message. Number one, he satisfies the conscience. Daily bread, ordinary bread, can satisfy our appetites. Oh, sometimes when you get home late from town, and you haven't had time to cook, and you're really hungry, you have such an appetite, you grab a slice of bread, it helps. It satisfies that immediate hunger. Well, bread has that ability to satisfy our appetite, but only forgiveness of sin can satisfy the conscience. Oh, sometimes our consciences are so guilty. We know we have done wrong. We know that we have displeased the Lord. We know. And when we come to the bread of life, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are washed and cleansed and our consciences are satisfied. That burden of guilt is removed. The peace comes to our heart. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know I'm forgiven. Oh, what grace He has forgiven me. You see, to be in Christ, to be in Him, therefore, says Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. As we are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. My conscience is satisfied. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Christ has forgiven me. What a wonderful truth. And then, by the way, this verse goes on to say in Romans 8 and verse 1, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who walk according to the Spirit. Now, when we come to the Lord and eat the bread, what does bread do? It gives us strength. What does it give us strength to do? To walk in the Spirit. To walk in truth. To walk in righteousness. To walk uprightly. Oh, the Lord is so good. Let's move on to the next point. He satisfies the heart. This bread satisfies the heart. It grants hope. Hope and future, an eternal home where we may be with Him forever. He pours love into our hearts. Oh, Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. A heart that's filled with love. We know that we are loved by the Father. We know that He is our good shepherd. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. My heart is satisfied. He satisfies my heart. I trust in Him and I am helped. And therefore, my heart greatly, greatly rejoices. He is alone the one that can make my heart steadfast. And let me give you another one. Our hearts are satisfied by the knowledge that we have access to the throne of grace. I can come to the Lord in prayer. Heaven is open. I can come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. Oh, my heart is gladdened that heaven is open, that I have access to the throne of grace. God's word satisfies all the cravings of our heart. And we hear His word and we live. And God's word is the word that strengthens our heart. He gives us strength, strengthens our heart. What else does His word do? What else does the bread of life do for us? What else can we expect to be satisfied with if we partake and eat? Well, He satisfies our fears. Our fears. He delivers us from, number one, fear and dread and terrifying prospect of judgment. He delivers us from that. We fear not because we are delivered. We were slaves to sin, but we have obeyed from the heart, and the gospel has delivered us. We are delivered. Our sins are forgiven. I shall not come into the judgment because Christ Jesus has died for me. My fear is gone. The fear of death is gone. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, those that haven't partaken of the bread of life, oh, how afraid of death are they? But when we are satisfied with that bread, fear is gone. Fear is gone. Number four, hope is satisfied. This bread satisfies that we... And what are we satisfied? We're satisfied that when it's all over on this earth, when I close my eyes on this earth for the final time, the next time I open them, I'm going to be in His presence. I'm going to be raised up on the last day. He has begotten me to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My hope is in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. It's this hope enables me to draw near to Christ. It's a hope, as the book of Hebrews says, that it's an anchor. It's an anchor of our souls. Oh, we live in a storm-tossed world where there's so much going on, and we need an anchor. Again, I quote Spurgeon. He says that on a stormy sea, sailors cast their anchor over the side of the boat, and the anchor goes down, down to the very bottom of the sea, and the boat is steadied in the storm. But not so the Christian. The Christian casts his anchor not down. The Christian casts his anchor up above, beyond the veil, into the Holy of Holies, where it is secure on the rock of Christ, where it will not slip, where we will be safe and kept by the hand of God. Oh, what a wonderful truth to have a never-failing anchor in Christ Jesus, the bread of life. Never-failing. He never fails. He cannot fail. He faileth not. So when we read the words, I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst, it doesn't mean that you'll never thirst or never hungry or never have a difficulty ever again. We all struggle, isn't it true? Because we live in a fallen world. if there was never going to be a struggle ever in the Christian's life, why did God give us access to the throne of grace where we can find help in a time of need? Because we're going to be faced with times of need. We live in a fallen world. We need the Lord to hold us and help us. We need to have access where we can run and anchor and ask for deliverance and help with all the struggles that we face. So what do we mean by this never hunger and never thirst? And it simply means that faith in Christ satisfies a man's soul. Satisfies a man's soul, giving him peace, deep and lasting peace. Yes, there may be storms, there may be tests and trials, but the one who is in Christ is kept safe in them all. Someone may say, well, I don't feel peace. I don't feel that I'm kept. But how often have you heard, how often have you seen, how often have we seen and yet not believed? How often have we doubted? Look at verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and he that comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I will by no means cast out. We notice that it says, all that will come to me. All that will come to me. The Father gives me, but we have a part to play. We have to respond. A sinner must come to Jesus if that sinner is going to be saved. But the truth is this, because of our fallen nature, we don't want to come. But the Father draws us. In verse 44, the Father graciously draws us. And Christ assures us and gives us the promise that if you yield to that drawing and you come, you shall surely be saved. That everyone who comes to him shall be saved. But friends, we have to come as an individual. I like what J.C. Ryle says. He says, no one can come on your behalf. Nobody can come to Christ for you. You can't ask your pastor to pray for you. You must pray yourself. You must come yourself. There's certain things that I can't do for you. I can't eat for you. I can't sleep for you. You have to do it yourself. And I can't learn the ABCs for you. You have to learn it for yourself. And in the same way, you have to come to Christ yourself. And when you come to Christ and you ask for forgiveness, he will save you. He will save you. You come as a sinner. That's how the tax collector came. You remember, he stood afar off. He wouldn't even lift up his head. He beat his chest. He said, whoa, it's me, a sinner. But the other man was proud. He looked up to God. But this man, he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners. He came to seek and save those that are lost. He came for the sick, not the healthy. And unless we admit that we need a physician, we have to admit, I'm sick. I need help. You won't go to the doctor until you acknowledge you're sick. And you won't go to Jesus Christ until you acknowledge that there is sin that needs forgiving. Let's draw to a close. We have to come. We've said the first one. We have to come as a sinner. We have to acknowledge our sin. We have to come believing. We have to, the scripture says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And the Philippian jailer, he came and he said, what must I do to be saved? And It was answered to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So we come believing and then we come repenting, repenting. And Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent means that you're going one direction, you stop and you turn around and you go the other direction. You turn from your old life to Jesus Christ. No one comes unless they turn. We have to turn. To repent means to turn. And then we come now. Not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's word, don't harden your heart. Christ promises, he says, the one who comes to him will never hunger. The one who believes in him will never thirst. Come today, friend. Partake of this true bread. Partake of it. And I'll close our thoughts now with reading verse 58. And ask yourself this question. Have you tasted this bread? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Do you know this bread? Is it your daily portion? John 6:58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Forever. Amen.